Call the meeting of the Senate Committee on Regional Affairs to order. Let the record reflect that it's 3:30 p.m. Tuesday, March 17th. Present today are Senator Stedman, Senator McKinnon, Senator Egan, myself, Senator Bishop. Senator Hoffman is in another hearing, but will be along. We're at that time of the year where we're starting to get doubled up now on committee hearings, so he'll be along shortly. I'd like to recognize Christopher Dickwell from Senate Records here today. Chris, good to see you. And Jess Hines, welcome here this morning, this afternoon, as our teleconference moderator. My staff is Mr. Manley and Ms. Hutchinson, Brittany Hutchinson. So, cell phones, you know the policy. I don't need to reiterate that anymore. Today's meeting, we will hear from Commissioner Laddick and his qualifications for his position in Community and Regional Affairs, Economic Development. Then we're going to bring back up SB 22, Motor Vehicle Registration Tax Collection by Senator Giesel. We're going to get an overview by Representative Wool on the HB 70 Kramer's Field. And lastly, we'll be hearing the Governor's Bills SB 56 for the second time regarding municipal energy improvements. And with that being said, Commissioner, can you please come up and state your name for the record? And please proceed. Thank you. And welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
My name is Chris Laddick, and I am the Commissioner Designee for Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. I've been a city manager in the state since 1990. I've lived and worked in Galena, Dillingham, and most recently the last 14 years in Unalaska. I have a pretty broad range of experience from fisheries to living in the interior and dealing with the cold weather, et cetera, running a water sewer department, various utilities, projects, schools, swimming pools, you name it. I think I've been involved, marine projects, been involved with the Arctic Policy Commission and the Northern Waters Task Force, and I'm looking forward to applying my skills to the position.
Thank you. Questions from committee members? Senator Stedman?
Thank you. I think as your past employer, you were on the cusp of going to the federal pokey for some environmental issues dealing with compliance of discharge.
Yes, sir.
And I'm just wondering if you're able and capable, in case your new boss gets in trouble, that you'd go to the pokey for him?
Yes, sir. If I have to, I guess I will.
I'm just
referring to.
Could you enlighten the rest of the committee there a little bit, Mr.
Maybe Chair? We could have that, because it's kind of tongue in cheek, but maybe you could make a brief explanation.
It's kind of a bit of a long story, but to make a long story short, the EPA, we had a discharge permit for our wastewater treatment plant. That we had a new permit was developed and signed in 2004 that had flaws in it. I pointed out that there was flaws in it. DEC agreed there was flaws. EPA agreed there was flaws. They put it back out to public comment, and the Fish and Wildlife Service stomped on it, saying they didn't do the proper consultation under the ESA, and they ended up, I took 4 years to work through this process. And then one day, the enforcement folks called and said, oh, by the way, you have a permit, and you've been violating the permit for the last 4 years, and you owe the federal government $150 million. They took me to court for $150 million, at which point the Department of Justice got involved, and that was not a particularly fun experience to go through, and we ended up building a new plant, but we built it. This is incredible, but we built the plant to the flawed permit. They wanted to, at that point is when the DEC went through the, what was the program called, where they took over primacy. They took over primacy, and then the EPA said, well, you can't issue anything but a secondary permit, which would have cost over $40 million for the city of Unalaska. And instead, I said, well, we have a permit. And that permit's still good, so we built the plant to basically the flawed permit, which ends up to be advanced chemical, advanced primary treatment. So that cost $32 million. But in the end, it was quite the experience.
So, Mr. Chairman, any applicant that's ready to go to the federal pokey on behalf of their community, I think we should support.
Thank you, Senator Stubbin, for those comments. Senator McKinnon, do you have a comment, ma'am?
I don't have a comment. I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
Welcome. Mr. Laddick, we met, and I posed some questions to you in regards to the responsibilities in commerce specifically and the professional licensees. We had a person in place that was resolving most of those issues, and I know that she's still on the team, but I'm wondering what you will do in your role as commissioner to help those people that are licensed in the state of Alaska to be licensed and be charged a fair price for their professional licensing fees.
I think that yes, we did talk about that, and I met with some of my staff about that when I was here before, and I'm committed to trying to make that work, support her and her efforts to straighten this out. I know there's issues of fairness. I know last time I was in the dentist office, my dentist found out I was going to Commerce, and he jumped me while I was in the chair about the timing of having you do their licensing. So I'm aware of some of the issues. I'm not totally, may have been totally briefed on that, but I'm committed to trying to fix the problem.
Please continue.
Thank you. You have a remarkable experience in communities across Alaska. In Alaska, Dillingham, Galena, to name a few that's highlighted in your resume. So I think that you can do a really good job at understanding how different communities are affected and by many different things. So I greatly appreciate that. In the area of economic development, can you tell me what management style or guidance that you will provide the department in looking at diversifying Alaska's economy or local communities and how you think that we should support them?
Yes, through the chair, Senator McKinnon. As a city manager, you do a lot of work on economic development. Most recent, we've been trying to work with a shipping company from Norway to take fish from Alaska back over the pole via the NSR. So I'm familiar with economic development. I think that the department's doing, I've read some of the things that they're doing and trying to get the word out about Alaska. Whether it's tourism or through, I know that there's various companies looking at coming to Alaska to set up manufacturing, Lockheed Martin and some others. I'm going to support that. I understand how work in the villages. You need to plan with those people, not for the folks in the rural Alaska. And I think that DCRA can bring tools to that end, and the economic development side of the house can help as well. So I know there's been a lot of talk about a more holistic approach to some of the places in rural Alaska to try to help with their problems.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Egan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want a just brief comment. I've known the commissioner designee, Mr. Laddick, with my involvement in the Alaska Municipal League when Chris was city manager of Dillingham, and it was very enlightening to our organization, the input that you provided to the AML, and I appreciate that, and I think he's an excellent choice.
Thank you. Thank you. Other committee member comments or questions?
I have just some comments. Great resume, great work experience, education, but I really appreciate your broad breadth and depth of your personal work experience. It's a great cross section that I think fits Alaska well and the people of Alaska well. I noticed that you've negotiated with the federal government more than just at Unalaska.
Yes,
and your Galena resume reflects that, so that's good. You've got great experience on navigating and negotiating with the federal government. That's a great thing, I think, for the state. And
your past and present organization, I think, are a good fit for the job, so it won't be a new day for you as commissioner. So with that, if there's no more further questions or comments from committee members, I'd like to open public testimony here in the room. Anyone would like to come up? Hearing none, we're closing public testimony. With no more comments, sir, the committee will recommend the appointment be forwarded to a joint session for consideration of Chris Laddick as Commissioner of Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individual during any further sessions. Take a brief at ease. Back on the record, next up we have SB 22, presented by Senator Giesel's staff, Forrest. Would you please come up? And while we're reviewing what SB 22 does, will you also address the answers and questions we're asked at the last meeting, including cost to the communities and to DMV?
To the chairman of the committee, for the record, my name is Forrest Wolf. I am staff to Senator Kathy Giesel. So since the inception of the motor vehicle registration tax system in 1983, the cost to the state in collecting these taxes for the municipalities have been reduced considerably, while the rate they take off of the top has not. The MVRT program was created not as a revenue sharing program, but was intended to piggyback, in a sense, on the activities the state was already conducting in order to produce revenues for the municipalities. With this understanding in mind, the state should only be collecting the added costs it incurs from operating the program, and not sharing in the added revenues the municipalities receive from their citizens. SB 22 proposes to reduce the amount the state collects from 8% to 5.5% in order to more accurately reflect the amount of work and resources the state provides to the municipalities for performing this service. This does not impose any new costs or fees on the state or the citizens. It simply reallocates more of the collected funds to the cities themselves. By allowing local governments to keep more of their own taxes, this revenue is kept closer to the citizens it was intended and enacted to serve, and therefore serves the people better. With revenue sharing posed to be reduced in these difficult fiscal times, allowing the municipalities to retain more of their revenue makes sense. And then,
just excuse me, sir, just for the record, Senator Geisler has joined us. She was double booked as well, like we spoke of earlier with other committee members. And for the record, MVRT is just for the...
So it's the Motor Vehicle Registration Tax Program. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
You're doing a good job.
So in your bill packets, I circulated around this week. There's some additional questions that we had for DMV in how they reported to us their numbers and the cost to administer the program. I actually believe I have Dan Moore on the line, and he's, I think, a little more knowledgeable about tax revenue and things, as he is a treasurer of the city of Anchorage, and he actually helped me come up with all these questions. So I was hoping maybe he could kind of shed some light on a lot of the answers and the data provided.
So. Okay. Also, we have, yes, that's accurate. Daniel Moore's online from the municipality of Anchorage. We also have Amy Erickson online for any questions as well. So, questions from committee members? Senator Egan, did you have a question?
No. I do. I'm sorry. Yeah. I do, Mr. Chair. This is the updated chart, correct?
Through the chair, Senator Egan.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah.
Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, I think that we received in advance of this hearing all the additional information that we requested at the last hearing. So, thank you.
We're good. Okay. Any public comment? I'd like to. So, Daniel Moore, would you like to make any comments from the municipality of Anchorage?
Yes, please. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Daniel Moore. I'm the city treasurer here in Anchorage, and I testified the first time, I think it was on February 10th, and we very much appreciate Senator Geisler's office support on this bill. The way Anchorage sees this, because we've been majorly impacted the last several years, is we've been losing $500,000 per year of revenue that would otherwise come to us. And prior to 2012, and that's when we increased our auto tax rates, the correlation that occurred when it came to dividing up the cost to administer the MVRT program were in perfect alignment. So the municipality of Anchorage had 45% of all the vehicles in the state, and we paid 45% of the costs. In today's world, because we increased our fees and because that statutory rate is a fixed rate of 8%, now all of a sudden we pay 59% of all the costs, not 45, but 59%, and it's costing us $500,000 per year. DMV has, in their fiscal note that was given, you know, as part of this bill, basically says that the bill, which proposes to go from 8% to 5.5%, has no impact on their operational costs. It has no impact on their personnel costs. All it does is it affects the incoming revenue. And what the effect is, about $500,000. And in my fiscal note, they refer to it as a loss, but during my prior testimony, I referred to it as less surplus, because it really is surplus revenue to DMV. If the bill were to pass as proposed, the impact of that would be that all the communities, not just Anchorage, there are 16 communities that have MVRT, they would all benefit by about 3% more revenues per year. DMV would not continue to hold on to $500,000 per year of surplus revenues. They would hold on to a small portion of what I call surplus revenues, but the bulk of that would be reallocated back to the communities where this program really is best served. So that's the proposal. I did have a chance to look at the responses from DMV to the committee's questions, and they did provide quite a bit of detail in terms of the number of positions that support MVRT and the amount of space they use in their facilities. And what I did is I looked at the detail that they provided, and I basically added up everything that related to Anchorage. And using DMV's own information that they just recently provided, it basically says that the municipality of Anchorage right now, using DMV's most current figures, is being overcharged $262,000. That's a 38% overcharge to the municipality of Anchorage. And that is, you know, from our view here in Anchorage, that's just, it's inequitable, and it's it needs to be corrected. In DMV's response, they said that to correct it, Anchorage just needs to revise its rates. That's not the way to correct it. The way to correct it is to actually correct the statutory rate to bring it back into parity like it has been for 20-some years. So if you all were to lower the rate down to 5.5%, that would bring things back to parity across the state. The actual break-even rate, if we were to basically make it like it was prior to 2012, would be 5.1%. But we proposed, when we first talked to Senator Diesel's office, 5.5, because we thought DMV should have a little bit of growing room because of wage increases and that kind of thing. So we could propose 5.1. We actually proposed 5.5. But we see that this is a problem that every year for us is costing significant amount of money, but it also is costing all the other communities also, and depending on their size, it varies. So I do appreciate DMV's information, but effectively it proves the point that we're being overcharged significantly, and the statutory rate really does need to come down. Thank you for the opportunity to testify again.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Don't go anywhere because Senator McKinnon has a question, I believe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to confirm that you're asserting that you have 45% of the state transaction. Is that right, or did I get the number wrong?
Yes, Senator, yes, you are correct, Senator. It is 45%, and that's the actual rate. It used to be 43%, but I'm using the rate that DMV recently quoted. So it's 45%, and that's based on, I think, data that they pulled from September of 2014.
Thank you. Can I ask her a question? Yes. I'm wondering if I can ask Amy Erickson a question.
Please do.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Erickson, we just had Dan Moore from the Municipality of Anchorage assert that 45% is the correct transactional amount for the Anchorage area and that a reduction of 5.1, or as this bill carries, 5.5%, would fairly allocate costs across the state. Can you respond to that? Is that accurate?
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, based on our statistics, 45% of all the vehicles in the state are registered in the municipality of Anchorage. And I can't speak to whether across the board that affects all of the other communities. I'm not certain of that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Senator Egan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Either for Ms. Erickson or Mr. Moore, we had a discussion last time we met about the contract collectors for licensing DM for licenses like the Alaska Truckers Association, I know is on Minnesota Drive and others throughout the state. Are you figuring these numbers into your equation?
Through the chair, Senator Egan, we were only looking at DMVs and commission agents.
So is ATA a commissioned agent?
Through the chair, Senator Egan, they are not. They're considered a contracting processor.
Okay, because I remember a couple of years ago we had legislation in from the Alaska Truckers and other organizations that were trying to collect some kind of revenue, and it didn't make it. But are you interested in talking with the Alaska Truckers and other organizations? I understand it was a different bill, but I don't think the intent was different. They were trying to get to the same end result.
Through the chair, Senator Egan, actually it is slightly different. They were trying to achieve a commission of the DMV fees for processing. This is related to the motor vehicle registration tax, which the DMV collects on behalf of 17 municipalities and then redistributes it after they retain 8%.
So they do retain the 8%. Is that correct?
Senator Egan, DMV retains 8%.
So how much would, and I'm just using ATA as an example, how much would ATA retain?
They do not retain
nothing,
the 8%.
Correct?
They have a service charge, and those are their fees.
But they do the work and they retain nothing?
they do not receive 8% of the motor vehicle registration tax, but they do charge a fee for service.
And that's market-driven, correct? Well, as they, as the state claims, I don't know if I agree with that or not. But okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions from committee members? Any other comments? Public comment is closed. Hearing none, seeing none, Senator Stebbins, do I have a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we move Senate Bill 22, individual recommendations and attached physical notes, to the next committee referral.
Seeing no objections, so moved. Brief it is. Back on the record, next up is HB 70 by Representative Wool. Welcome, Representative Wool, and you got your trusty staff, Mr. Dunsmore, there with you to reintroduce HB 70 again. And the floor's yours. You want to give us a brief overview on the bill?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Adam Wool. I represent District 5 in Fairbanks. This bill did come through both bodies last year and was on the governor's desk, but had to be vetoed because the land description was incorrect. So we decided to do it over again and get the right description this time. Creamer's Field, if you don't know, is a migratory waterfowl refuge in Fairbanks, kind of right in the center of town. And there's four parcels that were purchased by the state many years ago with the intent of being added to the refuge. And this bill would simply transfer those four parcels from the Department of Natural Resources over to Department of Fish and Game. And the Friends of Creamer's Field, which is a nonprofit, works with the Department of Fish and Game, and they would manage the land as part of the refuge. So this bill simply transfers that land over to Fish and Game under the management of Creamer's Field.
Thank you. Any questions? Senator Egan.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, I just had to do it. Just a brief comment. Can we broaden the title like we did last year so we can get the House of Wickersham?
I'm not familiar with that.
We had House of Wickersham passed unanimously too, but it was in the Creamer's Field bill. And of course, the governor vetoed it because of the language and the boundary designations. So we won't do it.
Thank you.
We take a brief and easy. Back on the record. I'd like to open up for public comment. We have David James.
I don't need
on line from Alaska Department of Fish and Game, Fairbanks supervisor, appears to be questions only. Is that correct, David?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm here to answer questions if there are any.
Are you at the College Road office?
Yes, I'm the regional supervisor with the Division of Wildlife Conservation, and I do work at the office in College.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions from committee members? Any other public comment? I'm going to hold this bill over till the next. We'll be in touch.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Good. Next up is SB 56 by Governor Walker regarding municipal energy improvement assessments. And Jean Terrio, would you please come up? And Emily Ford, I believe, AEA, is she here? Online for questions or comments and additional testimony if needed. So welcome, Emily and Jean. And I see we have some new supporting material, but the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jean Terrio, Director at Alaska Energy Authority. This is the second hearing on the bill, and at the last hearing, there were some questions from some of the committee members on whether the banking association or bankers in the state of Alaska had a position on the bill. I did begin to work with them, gave them a heads up that the administration was working on introduction of PACE legislation last fall, continued to work with them and presented to their association meeting when they got together in early January or late January. And as you can see in your package, you should have a short letter addressed to you, Mr. Chairman, from Steve Lundgren, who's the current president of the association, basically indicating that as long as the legislation is structured the way it is, has a provision in it that the current holder of mortgage on a business that wants to do PACE financing has to grant permission before the PACE financing is done, then the association members feel comfortable with the legislation moving forward.
Thank you, and thanks for getting that letter of assignment into our bill packet. I know we had some questions about that last week. Does committee members have any further questions in reference to the letter from the Banking Association? Senator Egan?
Mr. Chair, not necessarily, well, yeah.
Or any other or questions in general?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to appreciate, Mr. Terrio, your work on your division for getting this solved. We tried it one other time and didn't work, but now you're doing it differently, and I appreciate that.
And Mr. Chairman, and Senator Egan, by separating this out so that it is PACE financing that applies only to businesses, then that opposition that you experienced previously on PACE financing for residences falls away. Across the nation, there are some jurisdictions that are trying to figure out a way to move forward on that, but at this point, the secondary lending institutions are still not willing to purchase portfolios of loans for residential properties that have PACE financing on them. So the decision was that we can help with energy efficiency. In fact, we do help with energy efficiency for residential settings through a number of programs currently in the state. And this, though, is to really trying to help us crack that nut with getting businesses to move forward with energy efficiency.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Ford, I see you online. It appears for questions only. Do you have anything to add, or?
I don't. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other comments from the committee? Any other public comment questions? Okay, we're going to close public comment. And seeing no other further questions for committee, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to move Senate Bill 56, Version A, to the next committee and refer with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Seeing no objections, so moved.
Better known as the Jean Terrio Bill.
We're going to take a brief of these while we sign them.
if there's nothing else to come before the committee today, Community and Regional Affairs, our next meeting will be Thursday, March 19th, and we'll be discussing SB 45 by Senator Giesel and SB 13 by Senator Wilikowski. Also plan to bring up HB 70, Kramer's Field, so please take a good look at that again, and we'll see everybody Thursday at 3:30. With that, I adjourn today's meeting of the Senate Community Regional Affairs at 4:07.